إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we come to the next of the stories of the Quran. When I say next, this is not in some chronological order. This is just my preference which I am using. And that is the story of Musa alayhi salam. The Musa alayhi salam's story is in the Quran in so many places. Musa alayhi salam is literally mentioned in 28 of the 30 juz of the Quran. He is the only Nabi who is mentioned that often and that much in the Quran, to the extent that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam once said that the Quran almost became the kitab of Musa. Now, first thing to understand is why is Musa alayhi salam, and why are the history and stories of the Bani Israel, why are they mentioned so many times? And the answer to that is that they are mentioned so many times because that is the ummah which is closest to us. That is the ummah which the Muslims who immediately preceded us in this world are the people of Musa alayhi salam. Now you might say, well, Isa alayhi salam came after Musa alayhi salam, so why do we say that Musa alayhi salam is the, and his people preceded the Muslims? Because Isa alayhi salam came to the people of Musa alayhi salam. There is no ummat of Isa. Isa alayhi salam was sent as a prophet to the Bani Israel. So the Christians who came and who became Christians are people who broke away from the law of Musa alayhi salam to which they were subjected in the first place. Isa alayhi salam came to reinforce and reiterate the law of Musa alayhi salam. He did not come with a shariat of his own. Musa alayhi salam is one of the anbiya who brought a sharia with him. And so did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the similarities are between Musa alayhi salam, if you take the similarities, or if you compare Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Isa alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, you will find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam resembles Musa alayhi salam far more than Isa alayhi salam. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born of a mother and father. So was Musa alayhi salam. But Isa alayhi salam's birth was miraculous. He had no father. He was born only of mother. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not speak as an infant. He didn't speak in the cradle, neither in Musa alayhi salam, but Isa alayhi salam spoke in the cradle. And that's one of the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Isa alayhi salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had wives and children. Musa alayhi salam had a wife and children. Isa alayhi salam had neither a wife nor a children. He never married. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was head of state. He was head of the community. He was head of the Quraysh. He was an administrator. He fought wars. All of which Musa alayhi salam did, and none of which Isa alayhi salam did. Isa alayhi salam was an individual Nabi by himself. He was not a head of state. He didn't bring any sharia. He didn't bring any administration. He never fought any wars. And so forth. So, if you look at the similarities between these three great Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find that the similarities between Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Musa alayhi salam are far more than between Isa alayhi salam and either of them, either Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Musa alayhi salam. So, this is an important thing to understand, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a complete sharia like Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam came as an interim prophet to reinforce the sharia of Musa alayhi salam. Now what the Christians have done today, for example, the drinking of alcohol, the eating of pork, which is the norm in Christianity, is all prohibited in the sharia of Musa alayhi salam. It's all prohibited in the Torah. The Jews don't eat pork. I mean, they even today, they do not eat pork. So all of this is prohibited in the sharia of Musa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam came to reinforce that. If you ask the Christians today, did Isa alayhi salam eat pork? They will say no, because there is no evidence. He never ate pork. So then how do you eat pork? Did he permit the eating of pork? No, he did not. So how do you do that? So, and similarly, there are many other things. Isa alayhi salam came specifically and he preached specifically against idol worship. All that the Christians have done, especially the Catholics and the Anglicans, all that they have done is they don't call it an idol, they call it an icon. How does it matter? I mean, it's still a four-letter word. you just change the letters in it. If you call an idol an icon, it doesn't change it. They change the nature of it. There's still idol worship. You have idols of Mary and Jesus and whatnot. Now the villa. So this is very something that the Christians did, and all of this lies at the on the head or at the responsibility of Peter, who came and he did all of these things. But anyway, that's more history. But the point I want to make is that Musa alayhi salam, therefore, is a Nabi who came immediately before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the sense of the nature of the Nubuwwat. And his Ummah were the immediate predecessors for us in this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a lot of examples about the Bani Israel, of what they did in different places. Some of the good stuff they did and a lot of the bad stuff they did, because they seem to do that. So that we as Muslims stand alerted and warned that this is what you are also likely to face, and therefore here are things that you should do and here are things that you should not do. Right? There is a famous hadith from Mr. Sallam where he said that I fear for you that you will imitate the people before you, and by that he meant the Bani Israel. And he said, to the extent that if they went down a lizard hole, you will also go down the same lizard hole. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I do not fear poverty for you, but I fear for you wealth. And he said, wealth will destroy you as surely as it destroyed the people before you. Today, if you look at how true this statement is and what is happening to the Muslims today globally, it's not poverty, it's wealth which is destroying us at an individual level and also at a collective level, even as countries. The countries which are in the worst problems are the wealthiest countries of the Muslims. Literally, quite literally, the more money you have, the more problem it seems to buy you. And because of the same issues. From the Bani Israel, we learn many lessons. We learn a lesson, for example, and again, this is not in a chronological order, but I'm just saying, we learn a lesson, for example, of what happens when we get distracted from the Tawheed which the Nabi brings. And this is the first of the problems of Bani Israel, which is when they started worshipping the calf. They made this idol of gold, and then they started worshipping that. Now you can just thinking about it historically, here you have been delivered from the clutches of Pharaoh, and delivered also in such an amazingly miraculous way. I mean, when was the last time you saw water standing up vertically? I mean, you know, what was the what more can anybody want? And these were the actual people who experienced that. We are not talking about somebody who heard the story that, you know, this happened in my grandfather's time. No, this, they saw it. They saw it, they walked on the paths that were created, 12 paths that were created in the ocean. They escaped that, they saw the army of the Pharaoh being drowned by the same water. Despite that, when Musa alayhi salam was called to Tur, to the mountain, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give him the Torah, these people, they got misled by one of their own people and they started worshipping the calf. So that it shows us, so big lesson as far as we are concerned is our tendency also to leave Tawheed and start worshipping idols. Now this is both literally and symbolically. Literally, of course, in terms of worshipping graves and so on, but also probably much more insidious and hidden is the symbolic worship, which is the worship in the heart, where we hold something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being capable of helping or harming us. which is why we fall into interest-based banking, which is why we look up to politicians and God knows who as the people who will solve, you know, our problems, and so on and so forth, which is why we look at even our businesses as the means and source of our well-being in this world. And the biggest proof of this, of course, is that any time that we are asked to do any work for the sake of Islam, of, you know, to help the people, and which will involve leaving our jobs, I don't mean resigning and going away, I mean taking leave or, you know, leaving for a while, we have, how will my family survive, what will happen. Which involves also making ourselves the, you know, the partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, in the upkeep of our own families, where we tell each other and we tell ourselves, what will happen to my family if I am not there? You know, I need to be there. La hawla quwwata illa billah. This is all of this we do, and you know this and I know this. So all of these are lessons that we learn from that incident of Musa alayhi salam. And if you look at it, we can wonder, how did these people do this shirk even after they saw, you know, the example? But we do exactly the same thing, even though we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we come, we worship, we have the Quran, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us, but we do the same things. And the reason for it also is because we get disconnected with that. Memories are short. We get disconnected. I mean, if I simply ask the question and say, how many of us know how to read the Quran correctly? You know the answer. And how long does it take to learn how to read the Quran correctly? You know the answer to that also. People are available. I have offered to teach many times. Some people come and learn, some people don't come and learn. At the end of the day, it's your life. I mean, you know, I can offer, I can't force, and I have no desire or intention of forcing anybody. But if you don't want to learn, at the end of the day, you will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will not have an excuse. You can't say that, you know, I didn't know, there was no one to teach me. No, you can't do that. So the lessons from the people of Bani Israel. Second lesson we learn from the people of Bani Israel is the importance of shukr, importance of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people were wandering in the desert. They came out of Egypt, and they were supposed to go to Palestine. So they're on their way, they're wandering in the desert, and obviously it's a huge big congregation of people, many thousands of them. There is no food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them food from Jannah, manna wa salwa. So what do? They said, yeah, this is all right, but you know, we wish we had onions and we had garlic and we had dal and this. Now, the whole issue of being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here you are getting something which is superior, which is from Jannah, for which you don't have to move a finger. It comes free, there is no charge on it. You don't have to work for it, nothing. But you want something which is, which is first of all inferior, because it's from this earth, is not from Jannah. And secondly, you got to work for it. You have to, you know, struggle for that and so on. And at the end of that, what do you have? Onion breath and garlic breath. I mean, that's so. The whole point is, it's easy to laugh, and it's easy to say, you know, what kind of fools are these? But look at ourselves. Look at ourselves. What has Allah given us? And what is literally the first word on our tongues? Yesterday somebody phoned me from Dubai to wish me Eid and all that. So he asked me, how is the rain? I said, Alhamdulillah, very nice, very good rain. He tells me, Sheikh, you know our problem? He said, when it is hot, we say, oh my God, how hot and how terrible and so on, I wish there is rain. And then when the rain comes and you need to go out, we say, oh my God, why is it raining? He said, you are never happy. I mean, this is the biggest curse on the one who is ungrateful, is that he writes unhappiness into his own life. The one who is ungrateful, the biggest curse on that person is that he writes unhappiness into his own life. He's never happy. And there's no need for that. All you need to do is be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will be a happy person no matter what's happening. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no matter what my condition. So this is the second lesson from the Bani Israel. One is the issue of shirk and the second one is the issue of shukr. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be nilayita. We'll continue this as we go. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn the lessons and apply them in our lives so that we benefit from them, which is the purpose of the Quran. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatullahi.